And while they're passing it out, I'm just going to tell you another little story, the back story. As I was getting ready to come to camp, I was impressed with some of the shorter psalms in the book of Psalms. There are some psalms that are only two verses. Did you know that? And then, but some of the psalms that we know quite well are around six verses long, like Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 43. These are all very short psalms. And so I was curious about that. So I did, you can pretty much find anything on the, you can Google it, right? I mean, I'm not saying that you should Google everything. But you can find a lot of information if you Google. And so I Googled the shortest psalms in the Bible. And I came upon a website that had the 50 shortest psalms in the Bible. 50. And it was on a website that was to help someone who has to pray. Apparently there is a rite in one of the traditional churches where you pray 50 psalms every day for a person after they pass away. And so this was given to help you, so you could just pray the shortest psalms possible and fulfill your duty, right? So, I mean, I'm just sharing that. It just kind of made me chuckle a little bit. But and so I've put together, we only have six. I didn't take all 50 of them. We wouldn't have time to cover that. But I'd like to start this morning with Psalm 1. We have an abbreviated service this morning, so we'll go through this together. Did you have enough? Yeah? Okay. And the second thing is, I don't know if we have, sometimes there's pens in here, but I don't see any. So if you need a pen, in the days ahead, you can either buy one at the boathouse or you can check in. Are there pens right back there in that little thing right there? Who needs a pen this morning? Anyone? I'll give you mine. It says TD Bank, so it's not really mine. Okay. Many of you know my mom or knew my mom, and one of the favorite expressions she would have is "push your pencil, push your pencil." You want to be a good Bible student? Well, push your pencil. And she wanted you to be a good student, right? Because you can hear something, but if you write it down, I think it stays. I don't know how many times more, and if you know how that goes, right? If you see it, you say it, you write it down, it stays with you. So Psalm 1, if you got the paper, the idea was that you were supposed to fold it in half. Let's see, how many figured that out already? Good, good. Very good. You guys are good students. We're going to do well together. And I think that you could probably recite this psalm with me. We have different translations. And but blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Come on, say it with me. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, which bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, again, that's something we learned from a very young age. And a lot of these psalms, because they're short, we can memorize them. And we should. But it's more important to understand the truth that this psalm presents. And so the first question, or the title for this morning, is The Way of the Blessed. Do you want to have a blessed life? Do you want to be blessed by God? Do you want to not only enjoy maybe material blessings, but the blessing of His presence with you, the friendship? Do you want to enjoy His protection, His leading, His guidance over your life? That's what it means to be blessed. And there are a number of places in the Bible where We know the blessings that Jesus gave. They're called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Right? So we see that the Bible tells us or gives us ways to be blessed, to be under the favor of God. That's what it means. To be under God's favor. You want God's hand upon your life. You want to experience His grace. Well, this is the way. Blessed is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the young person that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, beloved, the counsel of the ungodly is all around us. You know, I don't like to pick on phones or TV or whatever. But the counsel of the ungodly is just all around, everyone. It's the environment that we live in.
That's right.
And we have so much access to things now. Yes, good things. I can search and find out the 50 greatest psalms on the internet, right? Real like that. Or the shortest psalms. But it also opens me to other things. The counsel of the ungodly. The way the world thinks is not necessarily the way the Bible says or what God says. You know, some people phrase it this way, you know, what is your worldview? Do you have a biblical worldview? How do you view the world? Do you view the world the way God describes and the fact that He is God, that He made us? Or do we have some other biblical worldview where we're here by chance, we evolved, and kind of we are gods and we make our own choices and we do our own thing and we don't need a God? That's the counsel of the ungodly. And we have to be careful. You know, I believe that God is able to keep our young people. You know, my kids are in college now. And they're faced with well, Katie's through it already, thank God. She finished this year. One down, two to go. And David's hoping to finish in January. But you know what I noticed in college? They didn't lose their faith. God was able to keep them and strengthen them. They got in touch with different Christian groups in school. They became involved. They became a blessing. So it's possible. You don't have to cave in to the counsel of the ungodly. You don't have to walk in the way of sinners. You don't have to sit in the seat of the scornful. But I believe the key to that is the Word of God. Because the next verse says, but His delight or her delight is in what? The law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Beloved, why do we have Sunday school? Why do we teach our children? Why? Because if the Word of God is in their hearts, it gives them a foundation to stand on. It gives them a foundation or a way to stand against the counsel of the ungodly. They'll know what's true and what's not true. You know, it's amazing me. Sometimes people will say, well, so-and-so happened, and so I say, well, how do you know it's true? Well, I saw it on TV. Well, that probably is not true then. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? And that's the thing that should be the foundation. You know, Jesus told the story. Right? He said at the end of His teaching, at the end of the sermon, what did he gave them that little parable, right? The two houses. What was the one house? The one house was built on the sand. And the other house was built on the rock. And what was the difference? Outwardly, they looked the same. Beautiful houses. But they had different foundations. And He said, this parable, this is what it means. You have My sayings, but you need to do them. You need to do them. Whoever obeys, whoever hears My saying and does them, is like the man whose house is built upon a rock. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And I think it goes beyond, you know, saying, oh, that's such a beautiful passage. You know, that's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful thing. I just read this beautiful devotion in the Bible. Or no, the thing that makes it worthwhile is when you put it into what? Practice. He hath these sayings. Blessed is one who has these sayings of mine. And what? And does it. And so when it says his delight is in the law of the Lord, it means he delights to obey. He delights to do what the Bible says. I think the one word that's gotten a bad rap is obedience. Yeah, I don't have to obey. Obey? Authority? No. And we fail to see that we need to obey what Jesus says if we want to be blessed. If you don't have the blessing of God on your life, maybe it's because the Word of God has not found its rightful place in your heart and in the way you live. He is like a tree, verse 3, planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. If I asked you, do you want to prosper in life? Anybody want to be a total failure in life? All right, right here. No, we want to prosper, right? In the New Testament, I think it's in that one of John's little letters, he says, you know, my joy is that you prosper, but as your soul prospers. I want you to grow not only, you know, and be blessed outwardly, but I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to prosper inwardly. And the one without the second is really worth it. I mean, worthless. It's worthless. He will be like a tree. Do you get the picture? Here's a stream of water. I tried to put that little picture. Maybe you need a magnifying glass to see it. But that little picture in the corner is a tree right by a streams of water. You see, that's where the nourishment, that's where the life comes, that's where the ability to turn green comes, right? It's because there's water. There's water. I struggle all the time to keep my lawn green. I can't. I still can't do it. It's just like the sun comes up, and if that lawn is not watered all the time, maybe I have to get a sprinkler system. You know? In the back, I have one, but in the front, you know, it's so hard. Why? It just needs water. You can see after a good rainstorm, everything just turns green. You know, it's like new life. You see, and it's saying that the Bible is like that. It's if you're in the Bible, if you're in the Word, if you're allowing God to speak to you through the Word, your life is going to be fruitful and it's going to be a blessing to someone else. The NIV puts it this way, not so the wicked. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. It talks about the end now. Not only along the journey, it's wonderful along the way to have our roots in the water and our lives to be a blessing. But beloved, this leads to something. It's not just about this life, but it's about eternity. The journey that you are, the Christian life, is taking you somewhere. It's taking you to heaven, beloved. It's ushering you into the presence of God forever. And in that day of judgment, you're going to be able to stand before God and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why? Because you were faithful in little. Why? Because you kept my word. You didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You didn't turn aside and follow the crowd. It's so easy to follow the crowd. But your roots were sunk down into my word. You had a foundation that you could stand upon and stay true to Jesus. In spite of what the world does. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Hallelujah. You know, I gave you a little paper, so maybe you are writing things down. I see some people are. But there's a little fill-in. That's for all of you that don't like to take notes. You can fill in the blanks, okay? Just fill in the blank, all right? What's the blank say? God what? God knows the way of the righteous. God knows. God knows your way. Isn't that comforting? God knows all about you. He knows where you live. He knows where you go to school. He knows where you work. He knows the neighborhood you live in. And He knows maybe how difficult it is to stand for Him. But you know, He's watching over you. And He's going to strengthen you. And He's going to keep you. God knows or watches over the way of the righteous. You're never going to be alone because He's promised to be with you. But the way of the wicked will perish. So here we have a picture, a contrast. So which side do you want to be on? Now everyone's going to say, I want to be on the way of the righteous. It's obvious, right? I don't want to perish. I don't want to be blown away like chaff. Well, beloved, you have to get into the Word. And that last question, how important is God's Word to you? Now that's kind of one of these, you know, I don't always like response questions. You know, I like, how do you feel, how do you like, you know, I like more, but this is important. So how important is God's Word in your life? Can you get by without it? Huh? And so we have to be daily in His Word. And the thought of meditating, I'll just close with this thought, meditating. It's like you think over about it. You know, you got to think it over, and then maybe during the day you think about it again. And God brings it back to your mind. Maybe you think about other passages. Now this topic of the Word of God, we should have like 100 other verses that we could go to, right? Maybe I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. The Bible is full of teaching about the Word of God and the parts of the Word. What's the one thing that abides forever? Or the two things? He that doeth the will of God abides forever. And what else abides forever? The Word of God abides forever. It's going to stand throughout eternity. Why? Because it's the Word of eternal God. It's not just spoken once. It wasn't just spoken and written down. Beloved, this Word of God speaks. When God says, it is, let there be light, that light continues. When God speaks a word, it continues throughout eternity. I don't understand that. My words don't continue. But God's Word, spoken in power, and continues to this day. And that's why it can touch your heart and can touch my heart and change our lives. I said I was going to finish, right? Did I say that? Okay, we started 2 minutes late, so I'm going to... Nah. Just one more small thought. There's a verse in the Bible that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I tended, you know, as I would quote that passage, I tended to link, faith comes by hearing, and faith, and then... I kind of put faith and the Word of God together. And what's this hearing part? What does that fit in? Faith and the Word of God. I understand that. But what about hearing? What am I hearing? Someone said it. God's voice. You see, the Word of God, in the Word of God, I ought to be able to hear the voice of God. So faith comes by hearing the voice of God. Hearing God speak, and that voice I hear through what? Hearing by His Word. Do you understand? Now you might say, is that important? Yeah, I think it is. Because the Bible says that unless you hear the voice of the Son of Man, you're not going to live. John's Gospel, Jesus says, the day is coming when they will hear the voice of the Son of Man and they will live. And unless you hear the voice of God, I don't believe that you truly can come to God. Yes, we maybe can intellectually understand some of these things. But unless God speaks to you individually and says, come to me. Come to me. I am your Savior. I am your Lord. I am your Deliverer. Come to me. God wants you to hear his voice. You know, there's a song that we sing, More About Jesus. More About Jesus. You know that one, right? Well, there's a line in that song that says this: hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. You want to be blessed? How many want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. Well, here's the way. Simple. Psalm 1. His delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Beloved, we ought to love this book. And when we open this book, we ought to say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Another question I've asked is, when was the last time you cried or wept over your Bible? When was the last time that when you read something from God's Word, it so touched your heart that it moved you? Because God was speaking to you and imparting his life to your heart. Let's pray together.
Set these truths into our hearts. Eternally. Eternally. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, may I each day read thy precious word. May I love it and obey it. May my friends see Christ in me, and in Jesus' name, Amen.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I have a precious book. 'Tis the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. When I read, here it is, when I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful Word of God. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thy word have I hid in heart, that I might not sin against thee, that I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Praise God. Now we want to pray for our brother Joe and Sister Carol. You're leaving today? Yes. Anyone else traveling back home today? No? Well, let's pray for them, that God would give them traveling mercies. Thank God for their time here and what God has done. I know God will continue to bless them and use them in His kingdom. So, dear Father, we just thank You for our dear brother Joe and Sister Carol. I pray, Lord, that You would cause them to just sense Your presence in a very real way as they travel home this day. Make them to know that You go with them. You go before them. Lord, we thank You for their lives and of service to You, consecration. I pray, Lord, that they would continue to be fruitful in the kingdom. Whatever You put before them, the work that lies before them. Jesus, like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, just in the proper time, just as You ordain, Lord Jesus, You make them a blessing. And we commit them to You and to Your keeping. Oh, Lord, and we commit the remainder of this day to You, Lord, as we go from this place. Help us to meditate upon You, upon Your word. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, that our feet would be directed in the way of peace. Give us strength for this day. If there are those who maybe are a little bit tired, I pray that You would refresh them. Our strength comes from You. And so we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just a reminder of schedule. Tonight, our service is at 8 o'clock, not 8:15. We meet from 8 to 9, and then we have a staff meeting at 9 o'clock. So if you are part of the staff, be here at 8, but then you have to stay, okay? Don't leave. All right. God bless you all.